Wow, Mallory, thank you. All right, we'll dismiss the young people and the babies. I don't know who has the little ones back. Sister Cheryl does. All right, Cheryl. All yours. Head back to the building. Rest of us stand, please. We'll be in Acts chapter 2. Let's all stand. Acts chapter 2. And the title of this morning's message is Team Together, Everyone Advancing the Ministry. We're looking at Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Before we read, we'll raise our Bibles and say our verse that we say each week. So if you have your Bibles, let's raise them up. And we'll say our verse that is on the screen. Help me out. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You look, please, in the Word of God at Acts chapter 2, and I'll read verses 44 through 47. The Bible says, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. I want you to notice that phrase, because we'll talk more about that in a moment. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're going to speak this morning on the title TEAM. I'm going to use that acronym TEAM. Together, everyone advancing the ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the songs that have been sang and have been played. And Lord, as we come to the time where we look into your word to be fed, Lord, I pray that you help me to be a blessing to your people. And Father, help us to realize that as we advance the ministry of Waltonville Community Church, as we advance the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's something that we must all do together. And Lord, as we look at the example of this church in Jerusalem, I pray that you'll help us to be a similar type of church, not for our glory, but for all the glory and praise that goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Be with us during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Americans love their sports teams. We have 24-hour sports networks, and we love our sports teams. Of course, it's April now, but this time period is known as March Madness. I'm a basketball fan and follow college basketball. Tomorrow night will be the championship game of college basketball, and you may have a favorite team in it, or maybe you just like to watch. We all like our teams. Baseball season opened this year. I think I'm already jumping off the Cardinal bandwagon. They're not sounding too hot, but baseball season did start this week. The NBA playoffs, if you like basketball, they're going to be starting in a couple of weeks. So sports is a big part of American life. Have you ever noticed that there are just, if you follow sports, there are just some teams who are good every year? There are just some teams that are always good. In college football, Ohio State is always good. They're usually in the top 10, even the top 5, almost every year. Now, they may not win the championship, but Ohio State is good every year. College basketball, you have the Duke Blue Devils and Coach K. Duke is good every year. They just always have got a good team. In the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers, John, are good just about every year. I think they've won 6 Super Bowls, and they're just good every year. Even if they don't win it, they are in contention to win it. In the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers, if you're a Laker fan, they're good almost every year. In Major League Baseball, the Chicago Cubs. Stops right there. I don't know how that slipped in there, but the Cubs, bless their hearts. They're usually good this time of year. It's a little bit later in the summer that the Cubs seem to struggle, but we all have our favorite teams. Now, the text that we're looking at this morning, we see a good, strong team. In relation to the church, the Church of Jerusalem was the very first church that was established after the day of Pentecost. Remember, there was no church to this time. You had Jesus and his disciples, and then after Jesus ascended to heaven, 10 days later was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved, and the first church was established. It's called the Church of Jerusalem. Now, the Church of Jerusalem was a team. They were a good, strong team. Unfortunately, if you study church history, it didn't last very long, because then you get into the book of 1 Corinthians, you see another church who was not a church you would want to be like. But the Church of Jerusalem is a church that we should try to copy and to be like. Now, the reason we're calling this message team, T-E-A-M, together, everyone advancing the ministry, is because as we go to advance the ministry of Christ and of our church, it's something that must be done together. The pastor can't do all of it. The pastor can't, you know, do every part of the ministry. The pianist can't do it all. The door greeters can't do it all. The children's church person, the nursery person, everybody's got a part in the ministry. And what made this Church of Jerusalem so strong is that everyone was involved in advancing the ministry. Now, someone has said there's no I in team, and that's true. But there is M-E, which spells what? Me. Me, I'm on the team, you're on the team. We're all part of the team. Now, what does it mean to advance the ministry? Well, advancing the ministry means this. It means, first of all, seeing people saved. That's the entire goal of the church. If that wasn't the goal, then we could just be like the Elks or the Moose or anybody else and just kind of meet as a social thing. We're not just meeting as a social aspect, but we're looking to see people saved. Amen? We want to see people saved. We want to see lives changed. That's advancing the ministry. When we see lives changed and families strengthened, that's part of the ministry of the church, a growing church. How many here would like to see Waltonville Community Church be a growing church? Raise your hand. I think we all would. Our goal, again, it's not for our glory, but for the glory of God, is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look this morning at 9 aspects of this Church of Jerusalem that if we can get a hold of, if we can implement these things, we can see the Lord do some great and mighty things in our church, not just this year, but in the years to come. I want you to look there in our text, and we're going to notice some things. First of all, a strong team believes. A strong team believes. If you'll notice in verse 44, the Bible says there, "And all that believed." Now, here's the question. What did they believe? Well, I think they believed 2 things. Number one, it's important to know who they believed. They believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's the most important thing. Listen, if you don't have that foundation right, everything else falls apart. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a church, the word church in the Greek is ekklesia. It's a called out assembly. We are a called out assembly of believers. And the one thing we have in common is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about just getting together for a social hour. It's not about, you know, having some good music and things. It's about coming together with one thing in common, our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. That's the foundation. If we don't have the foundation right, nothing else really matters. So they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that because, well, if you look at verse 41. Right above that, verse 41 says, "And they that gladly received his word," Peter's word, preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, "were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So they had the foundation in their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't all they believed in. They believed in Christ, but they also believed in the work. They believed in the work of what that church was doing. That church was reaching people for Christ. If you're here today, I hope you are here because you believe in the work that we're trying to do at Waltonville Community Church. We're all in this together. We all want to see, I want to see that building filled out there. You know, we put a lot of work into it and things so we can reach young people. I want to see that building filled. I want to see our church filled. Again, not so we can say, boy, look at Waltonville Community Church. They sure have a lot of people. It's not just about that. It's about taking what we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, I believe in what the church is trying to do and reach the community for the Lord Jesus Christ. This church believed. Let's see what else they did. Look at verse 44. "And all that believed were together." There's the second thing. They were together, which tells us this is that they met at the time that was appointed. They were together. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The day of what? The day of Christ's return. Did you know the day of Christ's return is quickly approaching? I've said this before, man, if you just pay attention to what's going on in the world, Jesus Christ is coming soon. And as we know his coming is soon, so much the more do we need to be coming together. And so this church came together. But watch this. Look at the same verse. all that believed were together and had all things in common. Now let me ask you a question. Can you be together and not have all things in common? Or not be unified? Because really the point is this. They were not only together, they were unified. Can you be together and yet not be unified? The answer is yes. Sure you can. Have you ever worked and there's some that aren't getting along real well at the job place? Yeah, you're together, but maybe not unified. Have you ever been that way in your home, in your marriage? Now, I'm sure that just applies to me and Melissa. It doesn't apply to anybody else. You're in the same house together, but maybe you're not really unified. Maybe you're one's aggravated at the other. Listen, we can be together and not be unified. And the same thing can happen in a church. You know, some churches come together, but yet they aren't unified. This church at Jerusalem, the reason it was a good, strong team is they came together, but they were also unified. Listen, the devil wants nothing more than to divide Christians in a church. That's what the devil wants. That's the way that he attacks the church, is trying to get dissension and things. Listen, we've got to guard against that. I think it's important not only the pastor, but everyone in the church is always thinking, listen, we are unified. Are we always going to see eye to eye? No. There may be things that I believe that you say, I'm not sure about that, Pastor Tim. But listen, what I'm talking about is things like the color of the carpet. Or I don't like how Billy Craddock does it when he gives the announcements up there. I just don't like that. Listen, that sort of stuff causes, and you'd be surprised how often that happens in churches. Listen, we've got to be unified and say, I may not exactly see eye to eye on everything, but listen, our common goal, we are together and we are unified in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you saw at this church. They were unified. Here's the next thing. Go to the next verse there in verse 45. We see this was a generous church. They were generous. Verse 45 says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, everybody look up here. This is not teaching socialism, all right? This does not mean that we are all to go away from here and all of us sell our homes and our cars and everything and divvy it out to everybody. It's not what it's teaching. What it's telling us is this was a very generous church. They were generous to one another. Now, there are three things we can be generous with. Number one is our time. Generous with our time. Time is almost as valuable a commodity anymore as money is, isn't it? I mean, how many of you make the comment, I just don't have enough time? There's just not enough hours in the day? Time's a valuable commodity. But we can give up our time. That's something we can be generous with. Number two is our talent. We should be generous with our talent. That means if God has blessed you with some gift or some talent, we ought to be using it. If your talent is to sing, if your talent is for, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's greeting, whether it's landscaping, whatever it is, we can be generous with our talent. And the third one is our treasure. We should be generous with our treasure. This church here, I've been in church all my life, we have a very generous church. For such a young church, and again, we're not a great big church, not yet, but we've got a very generous-hearted church. There's been numerous people that our church has helped. We wouldn't have that building out there and have all that done if it wasn't for generous people. Generous people helping get the thing ready to go and donating different things. Listen, we're generous. We're a generous church. This church was generous. They were generous with their time, with their talent, and their treasure. That's why they had a good, strong team. Here's another one. Another thing they were committed. I want you to look there, please, in verse 46. Notice something here. The Bible says, and they continuing daily. How'd you like to go to church every day? We'll need 11:15 Sunday, and we're going to be here 11:15 again Monday, and 11:15 on Tuesday, and 11:15 on Wednesday. We would probably all be spreading real thin, wouldn't we? These folks were meeting every day. Now, we can't do that because of course, other obligations. But what I want us to see is this. This church was committed. They were committed to the cause of Christ and committed to what the work was. They were committed. Listen, a good team's committed. A good team is committed to what they're doing. If you're a basketball coach and you say, boys, we're going to have practice, and we're going to have practice 2 hours a day, every day of the week. Usually what happens is that the boys will show up the first week, all of them will be there. By the second or third week, one of them says, well, I can't make practice today, coach. I got something that's come up. I can't be there. And before long, then you have it again. Something that I have noticed in our society, listen, we are very uncommitted in our society today. It's why marriages fall apart today, because people aren't committed. I don't know if it's this way in all schools, but one thing we've noticed at our school this year is we have real trouble with attendance, with students just showing up for school. It seems anymore, parents almost just let kids stay home or they don't really feel good, and they're not committed to the cause. What I'm saying is that if we're going to be a strong team, we've got to be committed. That means we've got to be in our spots. We've got to be where we're to be to see the team go forward, for the team to be strong, to be committed. If you're on a team, be committed to the team. That's what we see with this church. Here's another thing we see. They were committed, and I think this is a good one. This team enjoyed one another. They enjoyed one another's company. Look there in verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord. That shows their unity. One accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart. Here's what it means. They enjoyed being together. Church ought to be a place where we enjoy seeing one another. I look forward, I look forward to this time of the week just about as much as I do any other time. I look forward to seeing everybody. Maybe that's because we only see each other one time a week. You think maybe that's that's what it is? No. Church ought to be a place where, it's good to see you. You get the handshakes and you get the hugs. I always I enjoy seeing folks mix and mingle when church is over, kind of just standing around talking. That's what church ought to be. Because, listen, all throughout the week, we are working with people who are, they're not of the same mind. See, we're of the same mind. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ in common. And so we come together and we encourage each other and we support one another. And so that's what church is for. It ought to be a place where we enjoy one another. Now, do you think every church is that way? It's not. Not every church is that way. Some churches, it's almost a fight every time they show up. This one don't like this one. I won't talk to her, and I won't look at him, and that sort of thing. Church ought to be that way. Church ought to be a place, where we enjoy seeing one another, and God bless you, and have prayer together, right, Sharon? Have prayer together and say, I'm here for you. I'm supporting you. That's what church is for. And this church enjoyed one another. Here's something else that church did. Look at verse 47. This church at Jerusalem praised God. A strong team praises God. Notice the very first part of 47 says what? Praising God. Now, what were they praising God for? I think three things. They were praising God for the past. They were praising God for what he had done. Listen, stop and think once in a while about what God's brought you from. If you ever really stop and think, where could I be if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would my life be? Where am I liable? Where could I liably to be at in my life if it wasn't for God's grace and God's mercy? I don't know about you, but I hate to think about where I'd be. Listen, we ought to stop and reflect once in a while and say, God, thank you so much for what you've done for me. We ought to praise God for what he's done in our church, amen? We've seen people saved. We've seen lives changed in 4 years. We've seen a lot done in our church. We ought to praise God for that. Not only that, but I think they praised God for what was going on at the present. I don't think we ought to live in the past. I think it's good to say God was good back then, but we can also say God's good right now. Amen? God's good to us right now. He's blessed us. Praise God for his goodness. And then praising God for what he's going to do. Not just praising him for the past, not just praising him now, but saying, God, I know you're going to do some great things. There's some great things God is going to do in our lives, in our families, and with our church in 2011, in 2012, in 2013. Listen, we ought to praise God. That's part of our blessing is just stopping, and we mentioned this a week or two ago, stopping and saying, praise God, thank you for blessing me, Lord. Thank you for being good to me. That's what this church did. They were strong because they praised God. Here's something else. Number eight, this church had a good reputation. Look at verse 47 there, if you would, please. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, notice it doesn't say in having favor with just the people in the church, but it says having favor with all the people. Why is that important? I think it's important because of this. A church ought to have a good reputation. We ought to have a good reputation, not only as individuals, a good reputation as families, but remember that when people think of Tim Reynolds, they not only think of Tim Reynolds, but then they think of and I'm just speaking for myself, they think of my family, and then they're going to think of Waltonville Community Church, and then they're going to think of Mount Vernon Christian School, and then they're going to think of Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. So there's a lot right there riding on a reputation. And the same thing goes for you. So we can do something to cause us to have a bad reputation. Listen, this church had a good reputation. And it wasn't just within people in the church. They had a good reputation in the community. Now, it doesn't mean this. Listen, this is important because a lot of churches have done this. It doesn't mean you water down your message. Some churches, so that they don't offend anybody, have quit talking about sin, have quit talking about hell, have quit talking about judgment because they don't want anybody offended. Listen, that doesn't mean we don't preach against sin or we don't talk about judgment, we don't talk about hell. What it means, though, is that we can say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See what I'm saying? We don't have to water down the message, but yet we can keep a good reputation. We've got to keep a good reputation. Our church has a good reputation. You'd be surprised how many people I talk to and I'll run into, and they hear about our church. You think out in Waltonville, you know, you think, well, people don't hear what's going on. Yeah, they do. People talk. And everything I hear is positive. Well, you guys are doing great things out there in Waltonville. You guys have a loving church. People who have visited here maybe once or twice will make the comment, well, it's a loving church. Brother Bart Southard, when he was here 2 or 3 weeks ago, he and his wife made that comment. You guys have one of the sweetest, nicest churches to come to. We just love coming there. We've got that reputation for being a loving church, but we've got to keep that reputation because you never know who in the community one day might be looking for a church, and are they going to come to a church that's judgmental and looking down at people, or are they going to come somewhere that said, I'm going to hear the truth, and I'm going to be around some people who love me. Got to keep a good reputation. And this church had a good reputation. They had favor with all the people. And then notice this, number 9, a good team gives God all the credit. Gives God all the credit. Look at the end of that verse, verse 47. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. You're in Acts. So you go to Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We must always remember to give God the credit for any increase. When God blesses the church, when he blesses us with seeing souls saved, or blesses us financially, or blesses us with numbers of people, it's always God that gets the credit. We're not to take any of the credit. It's God that gets it all. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Paul says this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the increase. And the next verse says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Which tells us this, that how many of you will have a garden this year? Raise your hand. Who will have a garden? All right, is gardening work? Gardening's a lot of work, unless you really, you may really like it. It's not work to you. It's work to me, all right? Gardening's work. You got to, get out there and get it all ready and plant and keep it watered and keep all the weeds out of it. It's a lot of work. Paul says, I've planted, Apollos, which was another minister, watered, but God gave the increase. Our responsibility, now catch this and we're going to wrap it up. Our responsibility is do the planting and the watering. The cop-out that we tend... Whoa, I think we just took our door off the hinge. Uh-oh. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. This message that I'm preaching to you this morning about outreach, I preached up in Mount Vernon. Everybody look up here. Look, I preached this up in Mount Vernon this morning. Our sound system kept cutting out on us. It kept on... And my dad even made the comment, the devil didn't want you preaching that message today about spreading the gospel. Look what's happened here. A little bit strange. I'm not one of these people who are, look for something behind every bush, but I'm telling you, the devil does not like it when a church gets busy to spread the gospel. we've tore the door off the hinge right up there. But here's the thing. Everybody look up here. We're going to be done. God gives the increase, but we've got to do the work. Now, here's the reason that I'm giving you this message. We showed you a video a while ago about the way of the master. There's three stages involved with this. We all raised our hand. We want to see the church grow, right? We want to see people saved. We want to see lives changed. But we got to do our part. What I was saying a while ago about the cop-out of it is this. Let's pray for God to do something and then let God do it all. That's a cop-out. Now, we're to pray, but the old preacher said, put feet to your prayer. We're not just to pray, but notice Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. That involved a little bit of work. Now, there's three things here I want to share with you real quick, and we're going to be done. Number one, it involves preparation, application, and celebration. Let me share with you the preparation. What we are looking to do as a church is I would like to see more people reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can do, this is a time to do it. Springtime is a time that we can reach people for Christ. Now, to do that, we need to be prepared. How are we going to do it? The reason I'm asking you to come on Thursday nights, four Thursday nights, that's 4 hours during the month of April, from 6 to 7 o'clock, we are going to be watching this Way of the Master series. It's a 30-minute DVD. Then we're going to have a question and answer time about how we can better reach our friends and family, our neighbors, our coworkers for Christ. Who has someone in your mind right now that you'd like to see saved? Raise your hand. All right? We probably all have someone we'd like to see reached. How are we going to do it? We can just pray and pray and pray, but if we don't put some action to it, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, and then we let God give the increase. So for four Thursday nights, I'm asking you to do your best. Now, I know because of work and different things, maybe you can't. But if it's at all possible, come on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 o'clock. We're going to get prepared. Then, in the month of May, four Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, I'm going to ask you to come here, and we're going to have different things. Number one, I'm going to have a list of people who have visited our church or maybe attended at one time, and they've got out of church. I'm going to ask you to help follow up on that and to contact those people. Number two, I'll give you some areas that you can go to just leave a flyer or leave a postcard. You're just spreading the seed is all you're doing. Leaving a gospel track or something. I'm going to give you an address. And if you can't go out, you can stay here. I'm going to have a phone list of people you can call that you can just call up and say, hey, we love you, we miss you, anything we can do for you to be a blessing. What I'm asking you to do is to get involved. That's basically what I'm asking. I'm committing myself to it. And listen, there's no perfect time. You say, well, I can't make it on Thursday. Well, if I made it on Saturday, there'd be others that can't come on Saturday. If I made it on Monday. So we're going to do our best to do this on Thursday nights. I'm asking for a total of 8 hours over 2 months. That's not that much. 4 hours on the Thursday nights in April and 4 hours on the Thursday night in May. We're going to get prepared in April. Then we're going to apply it in May. We're going to have just postcards, tracks, whatever. You can leave in a door. You can visit somebody. Again, we've got folks who are shut in. Bertie Patterson. I visit her. Richard, I'm sure you see her. But it'd be nice somebody else just pop in. Hi, Bertie. How you doing? Have a cup of coffee with her or something. That's outreach. That's all it is. And so I'm asking you to do that in May. Then the celebration part is the final Thursday night in May. We're going to have a celebration time. We'll come back here, have a time of soup and sandwiches, finger foods and stuff, and we're going to have a discussion time of how it went. Maybe you'll have somebody you can tell, well, here's what happened to me. Here's somebody I visited, and here's how it went, here's what happened. Listen, the hardest thing about witnessing or passing out something is the rejection part of it, because you think people are going to reject you. I've covered Waltonville personally myself. 3 or 4 times, just leaving door hangers and stuff, I've not had one person said no thanks. And the worst they can do is tell you, no, I'm not interested. Most people will say, well, thank you, I appreciate your time. Or, yeah, I hear so-and-so goes down there, tell them hello. Or, man, I sure appreciate you seeing. That's what most people are going to say. But we talk ourselves out of it. So we're going to do it, and then we're going to celebrate. We'll just talk about experiences. Maybe there's something that happened to you. I'll tell you something that happened to me. I don't know who lives right here in this trailer back here. I've told this before. They've got a big dog on a chain, And I walked back there to leave one of our door hangers there on a door, and that dog was on his chain, and I didn't realize how long the chain was. So I had left, and I started walking off, and all of a sudden, buddy, I was high-tailing. I was high-stepping. I didn't know I could still run like that, and I was out of there because the chain kept coming. The dog kept running. I didn't know it was on a chain, and finally it caught itself. But you might have stuff like that happen. That's just a testimony time we can share with each other. It's an informal time. It's not going to be like a regular church service. It's going to be a time we sit down, have a cup of coffee. We're going to watch the video. We're going to discuss some things. And my goal at the end of all of it is to, number one, equip every one of us to be able to talk about Christ when the time comes up. You may have a son, a grandson, a coworker, someone, and you don't know how to bring it up. I want to help us all to do that. And then we see our church blessed. God says he'll give the increase, but we got to do our part. And so that's what I'm asking us all to do. This church was a good, strong church, and we can be just like it, but we got to do our part. And that's what I'm asking all of us to do. I'm committed to it. I'm going to be here, and I pray that you will do your best to also be here to see us share the gospel with our community, all right? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, anytime we get ready to go and spread the gospel, we know that the devil's fighting against us. He's going to discourage us. There will be things that will come up that will cause us to maybe not be able to come. And Lord, what that is the devil discouraging us because he does not want to see the gospel spread to our community and to our friends and loved ones. But Lord, help us to have the determination, the commitment to spread the gospel anyway, to learn how to do it, to learn what to say. And then, Lord, as we prepare, you seem to have a way to lay down opportunities right in front of us so that we'll know what to say and things will come to mind. And Lord, help us to just be available. If we will do the planting and the watering, Lord, you promised to give the increase. And Lord, I pray that you just help us all to do that so we can give you the glory, Lord, so we can see great things done in our lives and in our church. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? Mallory's going to play a verse of invitation. This is more a motivational type message than anything, and we've blown the door off the hinge. Thought another one just come off, didn't we? But listen, this is a time also you can come and pray. Invitation time is a prayer time, so Mallory will do one verse. What are you playing? I Surrender All. If you have a need, we invite you to come and pray during this verse of invitation. Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Thank you all for your attention this morning. And listen, I'm serious about the devil trying to discourage. When you start talking about, and Billy, you'll find this out, you start talking about getting the gospel out to people, the devil doesn't like it. There's going to be things, and again, I don't look for, there's a word I'm looking for and I can't think of it. But I don't look for like hidden things, but I'm telling you, the devil is discouraging seeing the gospel given out. There will be things that are liable to come up to say, well, I can't make it. I can't do it. If you can at all get committed to those four Thursday nights in April and in May, we'll be blessed for it. I guarantee you, we'll be blessed for it because God always blesses when we step out in faith and we do something. We'll have daycare taken care of, so don't worry about it if you got kids. Haley's going to watch the kids. And again, just come. It's an informal thing. Just come like you are. And it'll be a great tool, a witnessing tool for us all, and you'll be blessed. So Thursday night, starting this Thursday night at 6 o'clock, okay? Any prayer requests? We mentioned Jimmy a while ago. Keep Jimmy in your prayer. Does anyone else have a prayer or a praise to mention? Art? Okay. Just a lot of them.
Sharon? Take your time. It's okay. Amen. We love you too. Thursday specifically, okay. Without divulging the information, Sharon's got a real issue going on with her family. We stuck around and talked about it last week. We all remember we prayed for her, but I don't want to go into the specifics about it, but she's got a heavy heart right now for her grandson, and we need to keep Sharon and her family in prayer. That's what church is for. Man, we're here to support each other and pray for one another, so Thursday specifically we need to pray, okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Bless you. You know what, Sharon? Maybe we need to, you know, tell people if they're going to go to Walmart, they've got to pass by here first before they go. Be a real draw. That could be some kind of marketing tool there, yeah. On your way to Walmart. Stop it. That's a good testimony. Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Amen. Yes, sir. Jack? Yeah, I don't know if I've told everyone this. My mom got some good news. She's in 99% remission. Has another week to go of treatment. And then she's to go over to St. Louis. Dr. Oz is wanting her to check into bone marrow transplant. She's not real keen on the idea. In fact, Mom's birthday is this week. She'll be 68. And if she's in remission, she really doesn't know whether she wants to go through that or not. But keep my mom in your prayers, if you would. But she got some good news on that this week. Yeah. Any news on JR? Is he just about it's getting weaker? Is he really? Okay. So, Miss JR, just such a loving guy, but keep JR in prayer. Is that right? Okay. Okay. Okay, so Jack Wilson and Karen, did you say? Yeah, actually, yeah, we'll be. We'll speak about that. I heard he was in the hospital. Is he home? Okay, so many of us know Mac Schertz. He was my dad's basketball coach. He's got a lot of stories about Mac. Your basketball coach too? Yeah, Kay. Yes, yes. Anything different on Lek? Okay. And you guys are driving down south for that, aren't you? What you said. So keep Black Lar in prayers. I think our roof's going to blow off of this thing. It is windy out there. Our kids are going to be blown across the yard. They must be. Yeah, I know. I hope our door is there anyway. Yeah, pray for Paul and May. They've really been under the weather. I talked to them last week, and they've just had the colds and everything, and both of them are not in real good health. They've not been able to come for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but they're very sweet people. And and I figure they're probably busy, aren't they, Matt? Yeah. Of course, good to have Matt and Karen, but I know it's getting farming season's getting close. So, but let Mike and Trish know that we do miss them. Yeah, you're over at Art. Yeah. No. No, what you got?
This is praise and worship. Yes, I wasn't here last Sunday, but I was at Cowboy Church in Albuquerque.
Oh, really? All right. Good deal. Cowboy Church, huh? All right. Good deal. Anybody else have a prayer? Yeah, Heather? I bet, yeah. Yeah, is he the one that had the heart attack just unexpected? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, definitely there. All right, Macy? Really? Is that right? This little boy's, so you don't know their name or anything. Wow. Young family. So keep them, and probably from Mount Vernon. Did you have your hand up, Angie? All right. Pork chop. Are you making any of those? Yeah. Okay. All right. So if you want to get your pork chops, get them from Mallory. Get them while they're hot. Next Saturday from 11 to 6, right? Okay. Sounds good. We'll support the school. All right. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Good to see y'all. Have a great week. Don't get blown away as you go out of here, all right? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Brother John Walker, pray and dismiss us. Would you please?
Good morning.